who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?"
Great, thank you, Martin. We've prayed already. So do please keep that open, and I'd like you to look again at verse 1. I see it there. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." And I reckon with that first verse, most of us are already hooked. We know that prayer is important. We know that prayer is vital to the Christian life. We know we should pray more, and we all struggle, don't we? We all too easily give up. And so we've got this passage. It's like the Lord knows us. Isn't that great? And he teaches us always to pray and not to give up. And brilliant that he does so by means of a parable, these familiar stories we're looking at, that stay with us and continue to sort of deliver their message, because we know them, we remember them. I bet most of us know this parable very well. And yet, rather like you know how a family will love retelling favourite stories over and over again, just to enjoy all the details. Well, it's good to look closely again at these parables to see how they make their point. And maybe the Lord will help us to hear this one afresh today. It has to be said, it might be that for someone here, that this is completely new to you. And I want to say, well, then this is a great day for you. Stephen Fry once said he thought the luckiest person in the world was someone who'd never read any P.G. Woodhouse, you know, the Jeeves and Wooster stories, because they've got such a treat in store for them. Well, if this parable's new to you, you're in for a treat. We're going to look closely at the parable first, and then we're going to see two ways that Jesus uses it to teach us to pray and not give up. So the parable concerns two characters, and each of them helps to shed light on what Jesus wants to teach. So let's look at them in turn as Jesus introduces them. Verse 2, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought." So here's a man who is responsible for settling disputes and enforcing justice in his town. How he became the local judge, we don't know. All we know is he's the last person that you would want in this position, because he neither fears God nor cares what people think, which is a pretty rotten combination. So if you went to him in your need and said, "Oh, for God's sake, help me," that didn't get you anywhere, because he didn't fear God, didn't feel remotely bound by what God said was right or fair. But he also didn't care what people thought, which probably means he had no compassion for you. So if you said, "For pity's sake, help me," well, he hasn't got any pity. It may also include the fact he doesn't even care about his reputation. You couldn't even say, "Well, imagine what people will say about you." He didn't care. He says that for himself. So he's a rotten judge. He's the first character. Let's meet the second, verse 3. "And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" Now notice first how she is introduced. Jesus doesn't say there was a woman, but rather a widow. And by describing her that way, Jesus is not simply telling us that her husband happened to have died. Do you remember, if you were here last week, Alex Richardson told us how the Old Testament law told God's people particularly to care for the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow. And that's because in that culture, widows were amongst those usually who were the most vulnerable in society. So if a woman's husband died, she was generally completely dependent on the help of a male relative, a brother, uncle, or an adult son. And without help from family, a widow would have been destitute. So this is a woman likely with no resources, and she's suddenly facing trouble. Maybe she's been falsely accused, or she's the victim of extortion. Someone's trying to exploit her or put her out of her home, thinking that she's fair game. She's defenseless. And her only hope is to appeal to the local justice system. Surely the judge in the local town will hear her case, take pity, uphold God's laws, and rule in her favour. Oh, it's him. Fat chance. So she seems doomed. Except she does have one thing on her side. She will not give up. She knows she's been mistreated, so when the judge refuses her the first time, she goes again, and then again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. She's like a dog with a bone. She will not let it lie. You know, every morning, you can picture the judge turns up at the office, and she's there, there she is, on and on and on. She's right in his face. First thing in the morning, oh, there's a woman here to see you, sir. Last thing at night, are we done for the day? Oh, one more person to see you, sir. And so the tension builds. You know, what happens when a seemingly irresistible force meets an apparently immovable object? Verse 4. For some time, he refused. There's a kind of deadlock. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. The word there is, it's an expression. It's really an expression that means giving someone a black eye. So it's just an expression, but he's had it with her. And so really, I think out of self-preservation, for the sake of a quiet life, he rules in her favour and sees to it that she gets the justice that she is seeking. And I think you can probably picture the widow kind of punching the air as she leaves the courthouse that day. It's a great story, isn't it? And we can't miss the point because Jesus makes it crystal clear. Verse 1, there it is again. Jesus told his disciples the parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. So let's think, how does Jesus use the parable to teach us that point? Two lessons. Always pray and don't give up because, first, God cares about his people. Because God cares about his people. It might sound a little odd at first, but let's look more closely. Look at verse 6, where Jesus applies the parable, and we need to pay close attention. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Now, at first glance, we might be confused. You know, is Jesus saying that God is like this unjust judge? And the answer is definitely not. We've seen before, haven't we, how Jesus is happy to use ungodly characters in his stories. Remember the parable of the shrewd manager? Jesus more than once says that when he returns, it'll be like a thief in the night. Is he saying he's like a thief? No, he's not. But he's emphasizing suddenness. No, the parable makes its point by contrast. Okay, so the point is this. If even this rotten judge will eventually grant justice to someone who keeps appealing to him, how much more will God bring justice when his people cry out to him? Because he does care for them. Just look again at how verse 7 describes God's view of his people. It says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? See, when God hears us pray, he's hearing the cries of his people, whom he chose to belong to him. His people, he set his love upon them. He sets his love upon us even before the creation of the world. Despite the way that we ignore him and wander from him, he comes after us in the Lord Jesus, who came to seek and save the lost. And he came and he laid down his life for us. And he paid the price for our sin. He's hearing the cries of those he's adopted as his children. Do you think he's going to ignore their cries? Of course he won't. You know, just feel the contrast. When the judge hears the widow knocking again, what does he think? Oh no, it's her again. When God hears the cries of his people, what does he think? Oh, it's my children, my children. And just think, is there any sound that makes a parent respond quicker than the desperate cry of one of their children? Always pray and don't give up, because we know the one that we're praying to. And we need to hear that, don't we? Because it's amazing how quickly we forget. You know, sometimes we stop praying because we somehow convince ourselves that God doesn't want to hear from us. Now, do you ever hold back from praying because you think God doesn't care about what you're going through, like the judge? No. Remember what God is like. Look to Jesus, because Jesus is exactly what God is like. If you want to know what God is like, see him in the Gospels. See how he responds when people cry out to him for help. Is he ever too busy or not bothered? Never. See his kindness and compassion. They're never exhausted, are they? Unlike ours. Go to him because of what he is like. Do you ever think about praying and hesitate because you assume that when God hears your voice, he thinks, oh no, not you again. You know, maybe you're very conscious of your sin, your failings. You feel you're coming to him with the same old sins. And you imagine he thinks, oh no, not you, not again. Do we think that? No. You want to see what God thinks of you? Look to the cross. That's what he thinks. See his love. See the fact he takes your sin seriously and deals with it there. But then see his love for you. See, the parable is not telling us that he's unjust. The whole point is that God is nothing like this judge, and you can go to him. If you're a Christian, when you approach God in prayer, you approach him within the context of a relationship which he initiated and which he secured with his blood. Previously in Luke's gospel, Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. Teaches us how to pray. And remember how he begins? He says, when you pray, say, Father, Father. That's who we're talking to. In my first year working at a church, the minister who supervised me always used to start his prayers, loving Father. And then he'd pause for just a moment before continuing his prayer. And I'm sure what he was doing was just reminding himself of who he's praying to. A loving Father who cares. I wonder whether that might help you to do that. When you pray, Christian, you're praying to a God who loves you, who chose you, who gave himself for you, who brought you into his family. If we remember that, it's just a huge encouragement to pray, isn't it? And not give up. You can always go to him. Don't give up praying, because God cares for his people. That's the first point. But before we come to the second, some of us might have a question. Because some of us might be sitting here thinking, well, hang on, if God is like that, how come he's not answered my prayer? And maybe there's a great pain or frustration or problem or sadness in your life, and you have prayed and prayed about it for years and years, and others have been praying for you too, and nothing has changed. And so you're thinking, if God is so much more willing to hear his people's prayers than this unjust judge, why isn't he answering my prayer? And I want to say two things on that. First, that what we've seen so far is always true. God is our loving Father, and the fact that our prayer hasn't been answered does not change that. We may not understand why he isn't answering now as we would think best, but we can be sure of his love and commitment to us. Okay, look again to the cross, because on the cross, not only do we see his love for us, but the cross also shows us something else. The cross shows us how God can use hardship and suffering to bring about greater blessings and glory as well. God's got this. So keep clinging on to him. Keep pouring out your hearts to him, because he does care for you. I can't tell you if he'll answer your prayer, but I can tell you he is working for your good, because he has promised. Keep praying, because he cares for his people. Okay, so what do we do with this parable? Well, second point and second thing to say on that. Keep praying, because God will certainly bring justice. God will certainly bring justice. So the prayer that Jesus has in mind here is the cry for justice. You can see it very clearly. Verse 3, the widow says, "Grant me justice." Verse 5, the judge eventually says, "I'll see she gets justice." Verse 7, Jesus says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen one? Verse 8, Jesus says, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice," and quickly. Okay, get the point. It's about justice, which begs the question, why? Why does Jesus tell his followers to keep praying for justice and not give up? And the reason is because Jesus' assumption is that we are like the widow. We're like the widow. The widow is supposed to be a picture of the Christian in this world. Jesus' assumption is that Christians are typically poor and weak and defenseless, frequently overlooked and mistreated by an unsympathetic and godless world. That is Jesus' assumption. The widow is the perfect picture of that. Now, I wonder what you make of that assessment. I imagine many of us think, well, that doesn't really describe my life at the moment. I mean, to be honest, pretty comfortable being a Christian where I am. So what do we do with that? Well, I think there are a few things worth saying. First thing to say, we know that that is not true for all Christians, do we? So this month, we are praying for Open Doors, who support persecuted Christians. This is today's entry from their prayer diary, where we're praying for Christians in India. It says, "Please keep praying for Christians in Manipur following May's outbreak of ethno-religious violence, which left at least 80 believers dead, 400 churches destroyed, and 10,000 believers homeless." I bet the Christians in Manipur cry for justice, don't you? And of course, there are many, many thousands of Christians around the world today who are also crying out for justice day and night. And they're part of our family, our spiritual family. This month will help us to cry out with them. So bear that in mind. Second, I think it's worth asking whether the reason that we face little hostility is we do have a tendency to keep our heads down. We're not open about our faith, about the fact that Jesus is Lord. And if we were, we might face some more heat. And that would make us cry out. Also worth saying, I think if we feel comfortable now, I think things are changing. Whereas the Bible's teaching used to be generally acknowledged as being a good thing, good for our society, if a bit old-fashioned, now, increasingly, it is regarded as harmful. I think we're likely to feel the heat increasing. We'll be increasingly accused, misrepresented. But then fourthly, also, don't forget, all of us are in a spiritual battle. Jesus tells us we have a real enemy who tempts us to sin, and then he accuses us, and he wants us to give up. I'm sure many of us are feeling weary in that battle. Jesus tells all Christians to pray, "Deliver us from evil." So let's put that all together. When we read the Bible, the expectation is that Christians are those who face opposition, will often be like the widow. But don't miss the point. Jesus doesn't want us to feel sorry for ourselves. He's telling us to be like her. We're to keep praying. and not give up, because God, our God, will bring justice. He will certainly bring justice, because he has promised that one day he will bring absolute justice on the day that Jesus returns to judge the world, to judge his enemies, and to vindicate his people. We all know justice is good news, don't we? Deep down, we all want wrong to be put right. And the promise of justice is very good news for God's suffering people. Well, that promise is certain, but we just need to finally pick up one thing. What does Jesus mean when he says in verse 8 that God will see to get they get justice and quickly? We need to address that, don't we? Because it's been 2,000 years since Jesus returned to heaven, and that doesn't seem very quick to us. Now, what we need to see is that when Jesus said quickly, he doesn't mean immediately. He can't have meant that, because surely the whole point of the parable is to teach us to keep praying and not give up. It sort of assumes that we have to wait and keep praying. So why do we have to wait? Well, I'd like you to turn on to the New Testament, further on the New Testament. Page 1224, and you'll find yourself in 2 Peter chapter 3. So 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Page 1224. These are important and helpful verses on this. Why is there such a delay before justice comes? Verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, there are a couple of things there. The first is just how we perceive time. Our sufferings may seem endless, and 2,000 years may seem like a very long time, but to the eternal God, 1,000 years is like a day. 2,000 years is like Friday morning. So although Christians may be mistreated again and again, and although we may feel there is no end in sight, when we are with him in his eternal home, they will seem like the blink of an eye. But did you notice too that Peter gives a reason for the delay? It is so that people may not perish, but come to repentance. You see, when judgment day comes, justice will be absolute. It must be, if God is perfectly just. And there's only one way that any of us can be secure on that day as sinners, and that is if we have taken shelter in Jesus Christ, submitting to him in repentance and taking our sin to the cross, because justice can be satisfied there. We sang that earlier, didn't we? Justice can be satisfied on the cross. If our sins have been paid for on the cross, well, then we can look forward to Christ's return without fear. And in fact, with joyful anticipation. So it's worth us asking, isn't it? Have we done that? God is holding back the day of final justice so that people can be saved. So let's not delay. But he won't delay forever. One day he will bring justice and it will be final. One day he will return to vindicate and rescue his people. And on that day, how will he know who his people are? Well, that's the question Jesus ends with. See verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He'll know his people when he returns because they have faith. That is, he'll find them trusting him. That's what faith is. They're trusting him. And how will they show they're trusting him? By the fact they keep praying and don't give up. They keep praying and don't give up through hardship, through sadness, through disappointment, through heartbreak, through suffering, through mistreatment, through false accusations, through persecution. They keep on praying. Why? Because they know God's love and care. Because they hold on to God's promises no matter what they face. They keep praying and they don't give up. Well, let's make sure that we're among them. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's pray. Our Father, we confess that we desperately need your help to be those who pray and keep praying and don't give up. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for revealing what you are like once again. Thank you, Lord, for your great love and commitment to us. Thank you, Lord, you never turn away your children. We can always come to you. And thank you too, Lord, that you are a God of justice and that we can trust you one day to put all things right. And therefore we praise you too, that you have worked through the Lord Jesus so that we can be ready for that day and look forward to your welcome. But Lord, meanwhile, please help us to keep going. Please help us to keep praying. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our final song. There is no better hymn to encourage us to keep going, to keep persevering in prayer. So we'll stand for the music. We'll sing together.